Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today I wish to present to you the third and final lesson on the theme, The Right Church. And we're contending that there is a right church, and that the church of which you read in the New Testament is the right church. Now we're supposing that if the Apostle Paul came into our midst, could he find the church that was established on the day of Pentecost, the church that Jesus said that he would build, that one church of which he spoke and of which he wrote, of which Christ is the head and the founder and the foundation? And how would he go about to try to find the church today, if it exists? Well, if he came into our city, as we suggested, he might look into the telephone book. But there he would be distressed by seeing not the church that you read about in the Bible, but you read about so many different churches of which nothing is ever stated in the Bible. Friend, you need to ask yourself, is the church of which you remember found in the Bible? Can you read about it? Where do you find it? You see, Paul would look for the church with the right name, because the name is important. And those that belong to Christ were called Christians, not this kind of Christian and that kind of Christian and some other kind of Christian. They were simply called Christians. And the Apostle Paul would want to know, in trying to identify the church, how does that church worship? Paul would want to know how we worshiped. Could we tell him that we assembled on the first day of every week? Just as he taught people to do, that we would eat the Lord's Supper, just as he did in Acts 20 and verse 7, that we sing praises to God in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, as he taught. And of course, the early church was a praying church, and the church today is a praying church. We give of our means, as the church was taught to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we study the Word of God. There's preaching of the Word, which was done when the church came together in the assembly. And we would also take note that we do not use mechanical instruments of music, and the reason that we don't is the same reason that we don't count beads, or clap hands, or burn incense, or dance, or hum, or beat drums, or many other such things that arouse the emotions of people. There's no authority for such things as that. Paul had written that whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of, that means by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. So we would say to Paul, Paul, we worship the same way that the Holy Spirit guided you to teach people to worship in the days of the first century. Now, when we sing and when we pray, we give of our means, we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, we study the Word of God, Paul would recognize that. He would respect that. Because that's what the Holy Spirit guided him to teach people to do back in the first century. That's the church that we read about in the New Testament. And he would listen to the preaching. The message preached tells what kind of church a church is. Now, you know the Methodist churches, they preach the Methodist doctrine. Baptist churches preach the Baptist manual. Catholic churches preach the Catholic catechism. That's to be expected. And that's exactly what goes on. But friend, let me tell you, any time a person stands in the pulpit, he's obligated before God and man to preach in such a manner, and to preach with the message that the Apostle Paul would recognize as the doctrine of Christ that he preached in the first century. You see, Paul understood the Old Testament, and he wrote most of the New Testament. And if one preaches out of the Bible, Paul will recognize that as the gospel that he preached when there was the right church. He didn't preach the theologies of men. He didn't preach philosophies and opinions and creeds and speculations and doctrines that have come from the minds of even good men. Today, you see, There are many who are preachers, but they are people pleasers. They are world pleasers. They talk nice. They act nice. Some of them even look nice. But they are a sorry lot as gospel preachers because they don't preach the scripture. Friend, we need to search the scriptures and preach the word of God so that Paul would recognize it. And Paul might ask, as he sought the church, how are you organized? Now, organization matters if we're going to be the right church. The New Testament church has Christ as the head, and there's no ecclesiastical hierarchy, no ecclesiastical government over local congregations. The local congregation is the largest organized body of the universal church. And these churches, these local congregations, they are autonomous, they are independent, overseen by elders, served by deacons, all the members composing the local church together, as we learn in Philippians and Romans. These churches, of course, are tied together, not by some organizational government, but by a common faith and a common salvation in Christ. Yes, they cooperate together, but never losing their autonomy, not ever one church being over another like we find in the religious world. And the headquarters of the Church of Christ, where is it? Why, it's where the head is. Some churches have their head in Boston, some in Salt Lake City, some in Rome, some in other places. Where's the headquarters of the Church of Christ? It's where Christ is. Acts 7 and verse 47, it's in heaven. This is according to the New Testament pattern. And Paul would want to know, how does one become a member of the church? Well, we would just simply answer him, nothing is required to become a member of the right church except what is required to become a Christian, because when one becomes a Christian, the Lord adds him to the church. After all, what is the church? Except there are people who have been saved by the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. When you become a Christian, you become a member of the Lord's church. You don't have any experience to tell. You're not baptized to join any denomination. You don't have any vote to pass. You only have to obey the gospel. And when you do that, the Lord will put you in his church. Well, Paul might ask, what plan of salvation do you teach? Well, men teach today different plans of salvation. Some teach salvation by grace alone. The Bible doesn't. Some teach salvation by faith alone. The Bible doesn't. Some teach you're saved by some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't. Why, we've even heard people over radio and television just simply raise your hand, send in a card with a contribution, just touch the television, just pray through, just give us some sort of testimony, relate some kind of experience. Well, you don't read about that in the New Testament. You know, today people are being told if they want to be saved to pray the sinner's prayer. You don't find that in the Bible. I don't know why men take the liberty to teach things that the Word of God does not teach, but we do not read of people just saying, pray through, or the sinner's prayer. People will get before large ordinances and they'll even tell them what they are supposed to say in praying the sinner's prayer. Friend, praying the sinner's prayer is not God's plan of salvation. We would tell Paul what we teach is just exactly what he taught. One must believe in Christ as the Son of God, Hebrews 11, 6 and John 8, 24. He must repent of his sins, Luke 13, 3 and Acts 17, 30. He must confess his faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He must be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Then he's to walk and to live in that newness of life as a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You preach that, the inspired Apostle Paul would recognize that, because that's exactly what he taught people in his day. Friend, in the New Testament record, this is what the apostles taught. They were led in what they taught by the Holy Spirit, John 14:15-16. Those who heard and believed were translated into the kingdom of God, Colossians 1:13. And they were taught that there was no other way, Acts 4:12 and Ephesians 4:4-5. Just as did the Lord Jesus says there's no other way but him, John 14:6. Now let me ask you this question. When they preached that way, were they arrogant? Were the apostles self-righteous? Were they sectarian? Were they bigoted? Did they not love people? Were they irrelevant? Were they legalistic? Or were they right? Well, friend, we know they were right. And when we teach the same things that they taught, what we teach is right. We have no right to teach otherwise, nor does anyone else, and still claim to be acceptable before God. When a church has the wrong name, worships the wrong way, teaches the wrong doctrine, is organized the unbiblical way, and has the wrong terms of membership, the wrong plan of salvation, how in the world can that be the right church? But when a church has the right name and worships the right way and teaches the right doctrine and is organized by the right pattern and has the right terms of membership and requires the same plan of salvation that God has revealed in His Word, how can that be the wrong church? I say to you, dear friend, it would be the right church. And our contention is there is a right church, in spite of the fact that there are so many churches round about, competing one with the other, contradicting one with the other, promoting the division one from another, being distinctive one from another, showing things that are not from the Bible. The church of which you read in the Bible is the right church, and this is the church to which we ought to belong. Now, the members of the church are not perfect people. They are not sinless people. They have their problems just as those of the first century had problems. They were still God's people, and they had done what the Lord says to do to be God's people. And they were striving to be faithful in Christ. And friend, these people were bound for the promised land. And we, when we teach, believe, obey what they did, why aren't we going to be the same as they were? They were Christians. They were not this kind of Christian or that kind of Christian or some other denominational kind of Christian. They were simply Christians. They were just the disciples of Christ. They were children of God. They belonged to the family of God. They were in the body of Christ. They were among those who were in the kingdom that the Lord Jesus is going to deliver to the Father when he comes again, 1 Corinthians 11:24. Those who are in the church of which you read in the New Testament, friend, you're in the right church. And so, with kindness and with love, we say to one and all, just as was said in the words of Moses long ago, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. For you see, dear friend, the Lord's church is spiritual Israel. They're God's people, and we need to be among God's people, and we can be if we be a part of that church of which we read in the New Testament. This has been A Burning Fire. Until next time.